So our guest today is a former CEO of the John Birch Society. He's the author of several books, including To the Victor Go the Myths and Monuments, and In the Shadows of the Deep State, and China, the Deep State's Trojan Horse in America, and most recently his book, Benedict Biden. Welcome to our Keep Texas Red podcast, Art Thompson.
Oh, happy to be here.
Well, we're delighted to have you as well. Now, before we get into all the accomplishments that you had with the exposing the hidden agenda of the deep state, let's talk a little bit about you. How did you get involved in actually even being interested in researching everything about politics?
Well, it's a long story. Long story short is that my father raised me to be an anti-communist. And by the time I was 10 years old, I had already read the life story of all the signers of the Declaration of Independence. And grew up being a patriot. Now, I went through a period of just being patriotic, but doing nothing, through school and so and on active duty and that kind of thing. But when I came home, I started to see some things happening, which I knew were really a problem and emanating from the communists. And I knew that they were, emanating from the communists because I grew up reading communist literature. Now, I read it just to inform myself as to what was really going on. And so I could see things in the newspaper saying this dirty, rotten John Birch Society was claiming this and that and the other thing. And I knew that what the John Birch Society was being accused of was actually true. That what they were saying was based on fact, because I had already known these facts. It's a long story as to how I knew them all at the time, but I did know them. I grew up in Seattle. There was a lot of communism in Seattle back in the day, and it's always has been. And I can tell you now that what has been going on in that city is a direct result of all of that. You know, the shutdown of parts of the city and so on and so forth, the homeless problem, the crime problem. And that's all because of this festering communism under the surface for years and years, decades. At any rate, I wanted to do something about it, but I didn't know what to do. And it wasn't until one day a person knocked on my door and asked me to sign a petition. And the petition was to draft Barry Goldwater for president, to try and get Goldwater to run for president. And I signed it. And this man and I became friends as a result. And he gave me a book to read, and it was called The Politician. And it was the book that was that came about due to a letter that Robert Welch, the founder of the John Birch Society, had to say about Dwight David Eisenhower. And I started to read it, and it blew my mind. Because what he was saying was fully documented, and it was quite a problem relative to Eisenhower vis-a-vis his image versus the facts and what was happening behind the scenes. And so I asked this guy if he was a member of the John Birch Society. He said, yes, I am. He says, what do you want to know for? And I says, because I want to join. I want to, be active. When I got involved in the John Birch Society, it really started to change things for me because I not only was patriotic, I was becoming better informed, not just on the issues, but the basic fundamentals and principles upon which my country was founded, which I did not get in school. I was not taught these things in school, and yet they were very fundamental. The fact that we were a republic, not a democracy, and the difference between the two. And so on and so forth. And so when the bulletin of the John Birch Society came in the mailbox, my day stopped. I stopped everything until I read that bulletin because it was so full of information from Robert Welch, the founder of the society, about what was going on, basic history, his prognostications relative to what he thought was going to happen in the future. And it all was starting to come together that way. The man had it was a brilliant person, and he'd traveled all over the world and had talked to world leaders, the leader of Germany, the leader of South Korea, and so on and so forth, and had tremendous insight. And the one thing that he pointed out that we needed to understand differently than what other conservatives and patriots, were understanding, is that we were dealing with a conspiracy. We were not just dealing with the communists per se, that communism was only one wing of a much broader, more deeply entrenched conspiracy, and that people at the top were part of this, as well as the people at the bottom, and they were squeezing the American people in between, pressure from above and pressure from below. And so the thing about the society was that we were not afraid to name names and document that these people were involved in this thing. And so it really inspired me to look more and more deeper and wider into what was really going on. And as a result, I became a leader in the organization. It wasn't simply knowing things. Who wants to be a person in the concentration camp that knew more than the guy standing in line before him or behind him? It doesn't make any difference if you lose. You've got to take that information and put action behind it. And that's what the society did and does. And so I got involved in organization. Now, most anti-communists, most conservatives do not understand what organization is. They really don't. They think it's a mailing list. They think it's some sort of list. It's not. Organization is where you actually get people organized right down into their neighborhoods to work together in their local community to bring these things forward and make change in their community as a result of it. We know that every member of the John Birch Society influences 100 people at the ballot box with the way that they disseminate information. Now, some guys can't talk to their spouse, but there are other guys that can talk to literally hundreds of people, and it averages out 1 to 10, 10 times 10 equals 100 at the ballot box, that people will vote better, more responsibly with the information that they have that they don't get out of the media, even the conservative media. It's really quite disappointing to me to see so many conservative commentators that well-respected and everything else that never quite talk about certain things. For instance, the Council on Foreign Relations, how it is so influential in our society, and their motive and motivation is to bring about a new world order. And we talked about the new world order since the early days of the 1960s. Now everybody's talking about it. But for years, we were poo-pooed and denigrated for believing in conspiracy and this new world order myth. In fact, a lot of the videos that I put out, the Facebook or YouTube, rather, would put a disclaimer in front of my video saying the New World Order is a myth before anybody even watched the video, to set the minds of the individuals thinking that this guy, forget it, he doesn't know what he's talking about. So at any rate, long story short, I found the John Birch Society to be truthful in everything they ever do, back up everything that they say, and do not allow anything to detract us from the goal of saving this country. We're not a religious organization, and yet we have a lot of strong religious people in our organization, most of them. But we don't say you got to be a Catholic or a Protestant or this, or you can't be that, and so on and so forth. The only thing is that we do not allow racism in our ranks, for instance. If a person is anti-Semitic or anti-color of any kind or that kind of thing, they're out. We don't need that kind of people in our organization because we're Americans. You know, we're not this, that, or the other. We're just, some of us are better informed than the others, and that's the only thing that makes us different or should be. Now, there's some out there that don't have very good morals, and we've got to get them out of government. But generally speaking, the society is an all-encompassing organization relative to who belongs or who doesn't.
Now, Art, you mentioned how the John Birch Society has been talking about a lot of issues like the threat of socialism, communism, and government. Way back in the day, even some people today call that a conspiracy theory, even though a lot of things have come out in the open. You mentioned the New World Order. Recently at the World Economic Forum, several people even mentioned openly the New World Order. Even Joe Biden did this. So even after all this evidence, why do you think there's still people out there that do not see these clear signs of what's going on?
Well, I guess it's part of their education. It's part of their faith in people that are in power. You know, it's funny how people will listen to those who are in a position in government or something like that and not question it at all. And yet we should always hold these people accountable to the Constitution first and foremost. And if they're immoral, we should also make them accountable for that. But people are too trusting of their politicians, which they shouldn't be. But the thing is that if they've been bombarded year after year after year that this idea of a new world order is myth, they can't get that out of their head. And so it takes something for them to see, some little snippet in the news at some point that says, oh, wait a minute. I guess these guys have been right. And then they start to look a little more and with a little more open mind and an open heart. And they start to see, well, wait a minute. Yes, there is this conspiracy for a new world order. But some people will see it right away. And some people, it takes an awful long time for them to see it. And then two, many people are in an atmosphere where they can't allow themselves to see it. In say, for instance, they're a professor at a university or something like that, that they know that they can't get too involved in this or they're going to be out of a job. We've seen that during the pandemic, haven't we? With the idea that anybody in any position of responsibility who questions the official government policy on certain things relative to the pandemic, they're out of a job. And so some people are afraid to stick their head up. It may be because of their family, it may be because of their job, it may be the environment that they're involved in. They won't let themselves see it.
So now, in your opinion, Art, how advanced is the tyranny in America right now? Is it to the point of no return? Does America still have a chance? So how advanced is the tyranny takeover here in America?
Well, it's quite advanced, but it's a lot smaller than people realize. The majority of people really do believe in the very principles of Americanism, but they're not as well organized as the other side. That's the biggest problem. The other side has always been able to capitalize on fear to get people to obey. Now, the classic use of fear has always been war. They've always used war to get people to comply with new regulations, new laws, rationing, even incarceration of certain types of people. And when the war is over, they never quite go back to the way it was before the war. In other words, a certain number of these controls and taxes remain in place. But they use other fears, like we've recently seen, we've already talked about the pandemic. They'll get people to to acquiesce to controls because they fear of dying because of their getting out amongst the people and catching a disease. Economic collapse is another fear. People will, for instance, in the 1930s, when Roosevelt, just simply by edict, an executive order, ordered all the American people to turn in their gold. And they did, because they feared the Depression so much that they were willing to do just about anything in order to overcome the Depression. And so we had a lot of new government agencies controlling the economy come along that were never rescinded once the Depression was over. And so with each new progressive fear, we got a little more control, a little more control, a little more control. And now we see it the way it is, to where a lot of people will just simply obey the government because the government says do this or do that, when they have no constitutional prerogative to do so. So we're way down the road, but we're not to the point of no return. We can still turn this thing around, but a lot of it has to do with organizing in your community to get people involved. Simply knowing what's wrong, if you're not going to do anything about it, doesn't mean a thing. You can be the best informed individual in the world, but if you don't uphold your responsibility to do something about it, we will lose. It's just that simple. So our job is to get more and more people involved, but also involved in doing things that are going to count in the long run. That's why we have various programs. We have an agenda that is the counter agenda to the conspiracy. For instance, our Support Your Local Police program. They need to nationalize the police to bring us under control and then put it under the UN. So we want to keep our police departments independent, local. The same with the UN. Get us out of the UN because that is where they're taking us ultimately. So we concentrate on things that are long range relative to maintaining our freedom. And those are just a couple of examples. There are a lot of others.
So, Art, let's talk about your new book, Benedict Biden. So
yes.
What inspired you to write this book, and what can readers expect to find in your new book?
Well, what inspired me to write it was this. I got very tired of listening to conservative pundits on television and other means telling me that this guy was stupid, he was frail, he didn't know what he was doing, he was taking the orders from shadowy persons just outside the Oval Office and all of that stuff. And I said, well, wait a minute. This guy for years has not just broadcast, but printed what he wanted to accomplish. And he did it in a Wall Street Journal article called How I Learned to Love the New World Order back in 1992. He also printed a booklet of speeches that he gave on the floor of the Senate called The New World Order. So he outlined in there exactly what he's doing now as president. He wanted to get rid of carbon fuel. He wanted to bring the economy under world control through the World Bank and IMF. And on and on and on. And it was all outlined. Sure, he's frail. He's starting to show his age and so on and so forth. But he's doing exactly what he wants to do. So I said to myself, I need to write a book showing his plan and showing where he's going so people will be better informed about what is really going on and into the future. And so the president's already here. It is already here. It's gone. It's passed. We need to know what's going to happen in the future so we can stop it. And so that's the reason I wrote the book.
So Art, in conclusion, what would be your advice or your call to action for Americans that are seeing what is happening to our country and maybe have never been involved before, or maybe have been involved but not being effective? What is your advice to them? What action can they take to save our country?
Well, first of all, I always recommend join the John Birch Society and get involved. Not just have a membership, but actually take the action programs of the society and apply it as close to home as you can, in your family, in your friends, in your neighborhood, your employees, and so on and so forth. Get involved in a local chapter to work with other people in your local community to carry these things forward, to take this information out, even if it's only you, to people that are opinion molders in your community, businessmen, members of the Chamber of Commerce, your local state representative, and so on and so forth. Now, some people, they're a little afraid to do that at first, but they can do that. They are voters. People will listen to them if they do it responsibly, if they do it without showing angst or anger or anything like that, just as quietly and as ladies and gentlemen, present this information to them and then follow it up and get them involved as well. Start out with the video series, The Constitution is the Solution. That's six videos of explaining the Constitution very well. And a lot of people, it really opens their eyes. And it's nonpartisan. It's, you know, it's not like vote Republican or vote Democrat or that kind of thing. It's just good, solid Americanism. And once people get that under their belt, then they can start to talk to their friends and their family a lot better than they're doing right now. If they are not able to articulate at the moment, they will be able to in the future. It's a matter of spreading the word is basically what it is, and then doing something about it.
Taking action.
But doing it in a concerted way. By concerted, I mean like a concert. And people are all working on the same thing at the same time. And when people by the tens of thousands across the country are doing that, it has a lot of effect. Now, you don't see it in the newspapers. You don't see it on TV. But it starts to change public opinion. Just one last thing. There are a lot of articles written that state by the liberal insiders, the upper echelon of the elite, that said the election of Trump in 2016 was due to the John Birch Society, because he campaigned on a lot of the issues the John Birch Society had been educating Americans on for decades. And so we don't have any direct tie to Trump and so on and so forth, but it gives you an idea that whether you like Trump or whether you don't like Trump, he resonated with the American people on key issues that we'd been talking about for an awful long time.
Well, Art, we want to thank you for sharing your wisdom, all your research. I know there's so much on there. We do encourage everybody to read your book, your most recent one, Benedict Biden, but there's the other books that you've written, so they can look those up and read those, because I know you've done a lot of research all your life. So thank you very much for taking the time to be on our Keep Texas Red podcast.
Pleasure. Thanks.